Tweet at Today SOR.
Hard to believe, but today marks the 40th anniversary of one of the biggest sporting events ever, the Rumble in the Jungle, when Muhammad Ali took on George Foreman in Kinshasa in Zaire. It was a watershed moment in professional boxing. Let's have a listen now to Ali doing his trademark fighting talk before the event.
It is befitting that I leave the game just like I came in, beating a big bad monster who knocks out everybody and no one can whoop him. That's when that little Cassius Clay from Louisville, Kentucky came up and stopped Sonny Liston, the man who annihilated Floyd Patterson twice. He was going to kill me. But he hit harder than George. His reach was longer than George. He was a better boxer than George. And I'm better now than I was when you saw that 22-year-old undeveloped kid running from Sonny Liston. I'm experienced now, professional. Jaw's been broke, been lost, knocked down a couple of times. Bad. Been chopping trees. I done something new for this fight. I done wrestled with an alligator. That's right. I have wrestled with an alligator. I done tussled with a whale. I done handcuffed lightning, throw thunder in jail. That's bad. Only last week, I murdered a rock, injured a stone, hospitalized a brick. I'm so mean, I make medicine sick.
And when he arrived at the stadium in Zaire, Muhammad Ali's arsenal of memorable quips seemed never-ending.
I'm gonna float like a butterfly and sting like a bee. George can't hit what his eyes can't see. Now you see me, now you don't. You think you will, but I know you won't.
Very good. This
is gonna be a good fight. I wanna say that I plan to make this my last fight, and I'm gonna shock the whole world. I think it's befitting that I go out of boxing like I came in 10 years from the day I beat Sonny Liston, destroying another Sonny Liston who idolized Sonny Liston. He jumps ropes like Sonny Liston. He walks around with a stern, sad face like Sonny Liston. He's awkward and slow, and he hits hard like Sonny Liston. And I think it's befitting that 1974 stage couldn't be set no better that I retire this man just like I did Liston.
Ali Boumaye! Ali Boumaye! Ali Boumaye! Ali Boumaye!
I mean, kill him!
That's, we'll come to you in a minute, Jimmy. George Foreman, of course, wasn't going to take it lying down either. Here he is before the fight.
Reported about is that I'm ready to fight, healthy. And if nothing happens between now and the day of the fight, there will be a fight on the 30th. And I'll be doing my best to win. And as evidence, everybody's seen what I do. I go out and try to do the same thing to everybody. I won't be trying to change tactics.
Well, the fight did take place. It lasted 8 rounds with each boxer trying to land that fatal blow.
The bell sounds, round number 8, an even fight here live via satellite, a Video Techniques presentation worldwide. Ali working to the head of George Foreman.
Ali scores again with a light left hand. That time a straight left, bounces the head back of Foreman. A quick short jab with the right hand, bounces the head around of Foreman. 30 seconds left in round 8. Very even fight. Ali, a sneaky right hand. Another sneaky right hand. This time he works over the shoulder of Foreman.
So that's the commentary from that Rumble in the Jungle. Jimmy, I think Muhammad Ali won. He got the knockout. That's what he was saying there, is it?
He's a magical man. Was a magical man. And I think because of all his attributes, he had the feet of a dancer. He had fast hands like a close-up magician. And his brain, his boxing brain, his cleverness, it was that of a college professor. He had it all, the package.
And he had it from obviously a very young age, from the Olympics, was it in Rome, I think?
He won the light heavyweight in Rome.
Yeah.
And he was going around signing autographs in Rome in 1960, future champion of the world, when he was only 17.
And where were you, by the way? Did you get out of that fight in Kinshasa?
No, I was going to go, but I couldn't find the money. I asked all the neighbours to subscribe. And they only got a one-way ticket between them, and I didn't want to spend the rest of my life in Zaire, as it was then. They were trying to build the country of Zaire up as a special place for sports events, because Zaire itself qualified for the World Cup football finals in 1974. So it was, but now it's back to one of the Congos again. I think it's now the Democratic Republic of Congo. But and Kinshasa is the way to identify it.
But Jimmy, why was it such a big occasion?
Because Ali was the unbeaten and almost unbeatable champion when then Viet Cong came along. And you remember him saying when he refused to be enlisted, refused to go to the war, and eventually they wanted to put him in prison for whatever you do when you don't go to your country's aid. He said he had no fight with them Viet Cong. And, you know, he was right. Neither had, in fact, had America, but that's a different story for another day. So he was denied his championship, stripped thereof, spent 3 years in inactive, and then came back and had to restore his reputation and his ability. And he did it, among others, by beating Joe Frazier in one of the great fights of all time at Madison Square Garden. And then eventually a man called Don King got in the mix. And Don knew everybody and everybody wanted to know Don. And he was involved with the president of the then Zaire, who thought, well, I don't know who talked who into it, but anyway, the next thing he said, we have two great champions. We have this great George Foreman who can knock down streets of houses, avenues. He's hit so hard. This is King talk. And of course, Ali didn't need any selling.
And Ali was what? He was 33 at the time,
32, 33, yeah. So he should be over the hill, but he was far from it. He was cutting them all. And when they got, there's no doubt about it that Foreman was one of the biggest hitters in the history of the heavyweight division. And Ali was aware of that and afraid of it, perhaps. Not physically afraid, but afraid. And he did invent it for that occasion, the famous rope-a-dope. When he put himself, his back to the ropes, this is Ali, and let this big hitting Foreman punched the daylights out of him, to his body mostly, because Ali covered up his face, covered up his good looks, as he said, and took stuff in the arms, the shoulders, the hands, arms, shoulders, hands, and had to let part of his frame be hit, and was hit and was hit, but wasn't shifted. Foreman was getting an eye, and getting tired, and more tired. And we were saying, when will the big one come? When will he throw the lead, come across with a hook, come up with an uppercut, and even the great Ali will go to sleep? It didn't happen. And suddenly, Ali could notice that Foreman was getting tired, more tired, a little bit more gone. And Ali jumped off the ropes, sprung off the ropes, really, if you see it again, and came out ring centre, boom, boom. And he actually took Foreman off his feet. One of the shots.
That's at the end. That's what we were listening to there, yeah?
Off his feet. I mean, Foreman was a big man. And he lifted him like a falling leaf in October.
What was your... That's a wonderful image. Jimmy, what was your expectation? What was your prediction pre-match?
Well, you could get... such a hot favourite was Foreman. You must remember Foreman had a... he was feared and fearsome. And he had a fantastic reputation. 7-2 on... in other words, 2-7 would be about the best you'd yet had Foreman. And he could have had Ali at maybe 3-1, 3.5-1. It was a sin, really, to say he would even accept odds like that. So he came off the rope.
No, but hang on, what was Jimmy McGee's prediction?
I could never see anyone beating Ali, genuinely.
Yeah.
I thought then, and I think now. Even now, as he's not so well, he can hardly move. He'd beat most of them even still.
And what did it mean for Ali in terms of his future career? Was that the end of it?
No, not at all. This was the resuscitation of it. He went back again. He met the best, as he did before his American Army thingy bump. In his career, when you think, who did he meet? You hear the old timers saying, Ali wouldn't fight a black and he wouldn't fight a white and he wouldn't fight a... Ali fought them all. He fought Patterson. He fought Liston. He fought Joe Frazier. He had the aforementioned George Foreman, Larry Holmes, Jimmy Ellis. He fought them all. If there's any bad points about him, is that he bad-mouthed too much, particularly on Joe Frazier, who had a bad, sad life anyway, had a big, poor family. And when he did become champion of the world, Frazier deserved a bit more recognition.
Yeah, Des was just saying to me during the break, before he came in, that he there was that nasty side to Ali.
Yeah, and it was particularly evident in the Joe Frazier thing. Like, poor old Joe Frazier, he called him everything under the sun. But even Frazier could half smile at that. But once a black man calls a black man an Uncle Tom, that is, the next door to sticking a knife in his back. And I don't think Frazier ever forgave him, ever.
Yeah, and coming back to Foreman, of course, he's now perhaps more associated in the public mind with the famous grill.
I interviewed him with the grill.
Really?
And he was a pussycat, as Ali might have said, if he had been there with the grill.
Yeah, and
he made a fortune out of the grill.
Is he in better shape? Well, presumably he wouldn't be difficult.
Better shape financially, anyway.
But better shape physically and mentally. Ali's a very sad sight
now. His fiscal is
better
than his fists, anyway.
Pardon?
His fiscal is better than his fists.
Right.
Where am I getting them from, the Taurus?
I don't know, Jimmy. Nobody tells it quite like you, and it's a great pleasure and an honour to have you in studio now. And thanks again for coming in. Now, after the fight, Ali, of course, wanted to set the record straight. Here he is speaking to David Frost.
I told you, all of my critics, I told you all that I was the greatest of all time. When I beat Sonny Liston, I told you today I'm still the greatest of all time. Never again defeat me. Never again say that I'm going to be defeated. Never again
make me the underdog until I'm about 50 years old.
That's right.
Then you might get me. But I didn't dance. I didn't dance for a reason. I wanted to make him lose all his power. I kept telling him he had no punch. He couldn't hit. He's swinging like a sissy. He's missing. Let me see your box. I hadn't started dancing yet. You can't say my legs are gone. You can't say I was tired, because what happened? I didn't dance from the second round on. I stayed on the ropes. When I stay on the ropes, you think I'm doing bad. But I want all boxers to put this in the page of boxing. Staying on the ropes is a beautiful thing with a heavyweight when you make him shoot his best shots and you know he's not hitting you. I would have gave George Foreman two rounds of steady punching, because after that he was mine.
The greatest, in his own words, Muhammad Ali speaking there to David Frost after the rumble in the jungle. It happened 40 years ago on this day.